Let's start off with what motivated you to become a poet?
Charles Bukowski. Uh-huh. Charles Bukowski influenced me. I wrote in every medium there is, except for poetry, because I was one of the victims of high school and college English professors. And I discovered Charles Bukowski. I read one of his poems, couldn't keep it down, the whole book, and kept reading his poetry and realized that there is poetry that comes from the heart, that expresses working class life, and that is quite articulate. And that's what started it.
That's great. What do you like to put into your poetry? I mean, I've seen you do a lot of really dark things in your poetry.
Whatever comes to mind, especially, I don't do it on purpose, but I have very little respect for the norms of a society like ours. Hmm. And so generally, I look at life with a jaundiced eye. Things like saccharine kind of communication, how are you? Or a lot of the poetry is about my life mm-hmm. growing up in the Lower West Side, or my so-called life with women, mm-hmm. whatever.
I see. So what was it like being the star of Ross and Gwen?
First of all, to call me the star is difficult. It was fun. I mean, it was fun being in the movie because I've essentially done movies all my life. Mm-hmm. The world is a movie. Did whatever seemed appropriate, but it was just good fun. It was so much fun that I've never done another movie with Greg again.
Well, what did you think of the movie as a whole? I mean, the script, the acting from the other characters, all that good stuff.
When I first saw the movie, I liked it. The more I saw it, the more I disliked it. But there was no script.
Mm-hmm. And I think that showed a little bit.
Yeah, the fact there was no script, and the fact that there was very little to go on, it was done well.
Yeah. Well, how did it feel doing it? I mean, did you put a lot of yourself into the character, or was it a total acting job?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of people thought that I was playing myself, mm-hmm. A sexist vermin. In fact, after the show, one of Gwen, the co-star's friends, came up to me and said, "Is that really the way you are?" And I said, "You're fucking right."
I see. Well, I mean, you had some really good scenes in there, especially that scene where they're trying to lobotomize you. That was just phenomenal acting, in my opinion.
Well, it wasn't acting. I've been lobotomized before. In fact, if I hadn't been lobotomized, I would have never been in the film.
Mm. Well, how did you motivate yourself for such a hard scene like that?
Quite frankly,
yeah.
This is sad for me to repeat. I thought of, God rest my dad's soul, my dad dying.
Wow. That's a heck of a motivator, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what other acting have you done before Ross and Gwen?
Oh, I've done things here and there. I did some stuff with, Joe Jamber, who's really a fine actor. Well, he was in one of Greg's films.
Actually, he's in two of them.
Oh, is he in this one?
Yes.
But, you know, I've been offered other things, but, you know, quite frankly, more plays. Mm-hmm. But frankly, I don't like to have restrictions. Mm-hmm. And there's too many restrictions in film.
Yeah.
And in plays, except if you have a director who is not adverse to saying, what about this? And I haven't found that director yet.
I see. Yeah, you were originally supposed to play the lead in Failure, Greg's second movie, right?
Right.
And you walked off the set?
No, I would never do that to Greg and everyone else. There was somebody that was part, a very small part of the film,
mm-hmm.
But she was troublesome,
mm-hmm.
and she was nasty to some of my friends. We all would think of ideas. She couldn't come up with an idea if you gave her $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to be stupid. To be stupid and mean is a horrible combination.
Mm-hmm.
She was stupid and mean, and I was not getting paid for the film.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I was not going to be in the film
mm-hmm.
About 3 days beforehand. And I'm not the kind of person that says it's either me or her. I just didn't want to be stuck right. in a film where she would be on the sideline saying stupid things.
I see.
So my last act was looking at her and saying, you get the feeling I don't like you? Well, I don't. Well, no one does. And I walked out.
I see.
And because I would never leave a film.
Yeah.
In the middle of it, but I would never want to be with her. She eventually, other people quit, and she dropped out.
Yeah, wild. So you have a website, right, where you have your poetry?
Yeah, it's rossrunfola.com. It unfortunately, the person who put up the website is the only one who knows how to do anything on it, and she's busy. But it's got my poetry. It's got some of my film,
mm-hmm.
you know, Man on the Street. Unfortunately, not much.
Yeah.
And it's got some of my favorite poetry quotations. It's got other things where mm-hmm. some of my articles are, and of course, my picture of Charles Bukowski.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to say it's growing. There's a lot of poems, but I write the poems that they can't get up.
Mm-hmm. Now, you do poems...
Sometimes, you know, just like, I can't get up.
Well, do you do...
Although I try to get it up yeah. whenever I can, so.
Okay. You do open mics and things, as well as... I know you've done poetry in the 5-Minute Series and on Greg's Show.
Yeah, I've done open mics, and I made it my decision that I will never, ever vary my poetry for the audience
mm-hmm.
because I've seen too many poets who look at the audience and try to write, say poetry according to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
This has created not problems for me because, frankly, I don't care. When I say I don't care, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I have read for Just Buffalo Literary Center, and I was invited by all the Canadian poets to come up. I was the only one that was invited, and I was basically insulting them at the affair. And then when I went up to Canada, all I did was read my poetry. And now that I think of it, they only gave me a cup. Those cheap bastards. But you know, I can think of each one at Borders. I was told by the man who led the series that there was a young poet who the month before was told by the assistant manager that you will not say any more of this poetry, and he actually came up to the mic and censored some of his work and was really hurtful to this man. So I also was told, I thought I was told, although he denies it, to push the envelope. He knew I would, but not that far. So what I did is I got two of my friends who are about 6'5", 280 pounds to come in dressed in black. They're bouncers anyway. And for a poetry reading, they came first and I was in the middle and people watching this could not believe it. And then I went up to the mic when it was my time and I said, I have to be careful what I say because I was told that I can't say George Carlin's seven words.
Yeah.
Shit, piss, cocksucker, mother. And I said them. And then after I said them, I said they sell books at Borders that say shit, all that. But you can't say it because apparently that's the way it is in the corporate world. Mm-hmm. And I was waiting for somebody to come and try to stop me because no one was going to stop me that night.
Yeah.
And I never even realized this. There's a guerrilla film. Somebody filmed this, part of it. And I had water in my mouth, and I shot some water near somebody. Oh, I just had a feeling by his gumshoes was a member of the Borders group. And when it was all over, I said, don't buy books here. It's a corporate bookstore. Go to Talking Leaves. Mm. I said, and I had all kinds of books with me. I said, I'll give you books. And I started throwing the books to everyone. And I said, I'll accept you. I pointed to the guy who I knew was assistant manager. Right. I said, you get nothing. You get nothing because you're a censor. So I got a call that Monday from the man who heads, oh no, from the director of Just Buffalo Literary Center then saying, Ross, what happened? And I told him, and he said, you know what? We didn't want to go there anyway. So then I take pride in where I've been thrown out, including bars, rather than where I've been let in.
I see.
I went to Spot Coffee, and there was a reading, and I didn't like what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine who was a poet was very nervous, and there was a small room in the back where you could read your poetry, and I could tell she was nervous, and she was being thrown off. And I tried to get them to just lower the volume where they yell, peanuts, popcorn, you know, when they're making things, and they didn't do anything. And it continued, so what I did is they had balloons everywhere, and I started going out and breaking all their balloons and throwing things all around. And then when it was my turn, because I was a featured reader, to say something, I read the menu. And I also read the menu and said different things.
I see.
And when it continued, I said, look, I've got $25 on me. I get paid $25 for this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get out of here. Let's go across the street and go to, what's that national chain?
Starbucks?
Let's go to Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's on me. And so after I was the only one after a while. And as I left, I went up to the manager there, and I said, what happened here? And the manager said, some son of a bitch just, you know, was trying to ruin our customers. And I looked at him, and I said, it was me. So Starbucks was gone. I was banned from Starbucks. Let me see. Excuse me, not Starbucks, although I hate it.
Spot
it's corporate.
Coffee.
By Spot Coffee.
Yeah.
In fact, it's a long story, but when we shot Ross and Gwen, I have a bad history with a woman there, so I had to shoot Ross and Gwen without her seeing me because she would have thrown her ass out, too. And the I was invited to give a reading.
Mm-hmm.
At Art Dialogue Gallery, which I'd never been in, you know, and it was, I went into Art Dialogue Gallery, and I could tell that this is not the kind of place that listens to my poetry. But they needed to, because there were like six people in tuxedos playing music, like they're, you know, from the Philharmonic before me. And there was an audience, I would say the average age was 104.
Ouch.
I hate to be ageist, but, and as I was reading my poetry, I was talking about urban unrest. Mm-hmm. I mean, excuse me, urban decay in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of.
And there was a man in the back, and he said, I don't like your alliteration. I like T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland. and I looked at him and I said, "Do I look like T.S. Eliot, asshole?" And that stopped for a little while, but they have $5,000 paintings, and the two owners of the gallery were getting the vapors because there was little hors d'oeuvres and things. So he was, you know, saying things, and other people started talking. Mm-hmm. Let the young man finish. You know, don't interrupt. And then there were four co-eds from Buffalo State. You know, they said, "We like what he's saying. We like his poetry." So there was like dialogue. And my sponsor, the man who invited me, said, I said to him, "I should have known. Our dialogue gallery, this is much better. I'm getting a dialogue. I miss dialogue. The last time I had this kind of dialogue was at Nietzsche's." And there were a lot of beer bottles there. And he said, "This is the first time this has happened, Ross, in 10 years." So the man said something else, and I said, "Did he pay to get in?" They said, "No, no one pays to get in." I said, "Well, I'm going to throw your white milky ass out." And I grabbed him and I threw him out of our dialogue gallery. And when that happened, one of the owners passed out. And the sad part was he passed out into some pastry that I really wanted a taste of.
Ouch.
And then an ambulance came and a fire truck came, which made the poetry reading just great for me. And I went out and I said, "Would you turn down the siren until I'm done?" I was joking, obviously. Although I got a card saying, "You put the dialogue back in art gallery, art dialogue gallery, it's the most exciting night we've had," I was never invited there. Gun sale. So, and there's not many venues. I would.
So, really, would you consider yourself an anarchist or an anarchist? Someone who's trying to shake up the system?
No.
I mean, it's well known.
You know what? This system is so rancid. This system is so raunchy.
Mm-hmm.
This is so capitalistic with that kind of an urging. I do what I believe. Whether it shakes up the system, I don't think anything shakes up this system. It's so corrupt,
yeah,
economically, politically, and even in the arts. The National Endowment for the Humanities gives money to mostly the correct. And so I understand that.
Mm-hmm. Well, your email wars with Jim Prey were well known about things, so I will say you're a man who is not afraid to state his opinions.
Well, you know what I like to say? I like to say that not everyone likes me,
mm-hmm,
but everyone knows that I don't bullshit. I say what I mean.
Mm-hmm. That's why you have your man on the street thing, right?
Well, I have my man on the street because it just happened. I was given the mic and at the Allentown Art Festival, and I found, boy, I really love this. The problem is we can't get enough time because I could do it every week. It's so easy. And the secret of not getting punched is when I ask questions, I never smile. They don't know if I'm serious or not. And it's a hell of a time. Although, when Richard and I went to Hagarosa,
mm-hmm,
where it's like a 1,500 motorcycle people on a convention,
mm-hmm,
it's not the bourgeois Buffalo motorcycle people who are doctors, lawyers, except they come for a weekend on, near Chippewa. This is down and dirty, and I knew I overshot myself right away. Because when I walked in, there was a sign that said, "Check your firearms, your dogs, no fires, and no bad attitude." So wow. I went up to the person who was taking the tickets in because, you know, I'm press. I wasn't going to pay. And I'm cheap. I said, "Where do I check my bad attitude?" And they called. They didn't need reinforcements, but they called people. And I said, I got to just get out of here so I can make some interviews. And the interviews were pretty good. Although there were some tense moments, because I picked out my own Miss Hagarosa. They had a Miss Hagarosa contest.
Right.
And we also did an interview with somebody in the Johnny on the Spot. I don't think he liked it.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, our time's run out. I want to thank you very much for giving us this interview.